Welcome to the Agency in Focus, Navy, sponsored by Leidos.
The Navy recently released the second iteration of its Design for Maritime Superiority. The strategy sets up the service to fight future wars against competitors like China and Russia. The strategy covers everything from acquisition to personnel. Federal News Network's Scott Massioni talks with Chief of Naval Operations Admiral John Richardson about what's in the design and what it means for future warfare.
Urgency is a great word if you wanted to characterize the design in one or two words. And I would say that we're returning to a competitive stance, and we're doing so with urgency. And you probably noticed that this is version 2.0. The first one, version 1.0, was issued in January of 16. And we've been executing that for the intervening 2 years, and now we're ready to launch into 2.0.
Can you tell us how this changes a little bit from version 1.0? It seems to have a little bit more of an emphasis on near-peer competitors. China and Russia are mentioned multiple times. So where are we seeing this difference?
Well, I'll tell you, the version 1.0 called out great power competition as a challenge for our time in 2016. But what has changed since then is that the president has released the national security strategy. The Secretary of Defense has issued a national defense strategy. And those two have also identified this great power competition that is characterizing the security environment. And so we wanted to make sure that, our strategic thinking was aligned as closely as possible with those two major strategic documents, and we believe that it is. The second thing was that, as I said, we'd made a lot of progress. So just as you see in version 2.0, there's a number of tasks that we had in version 1.0, and we've executed and finished a lot of those tasks. And so it's time to get on with, new things, right, new goals. And then always, if you had a chance to read the original design, it is a design, right? So it's built from the ground up to be flexible and responsive to change. And so it was time to just reassess the assumptions that we built in and baked into design version 1 and make sure that those still pertained in design version 2. So I suppose that those three things are the real driving factors that led to version 2.
This seems to kind of take on a sort of new look to the way warfare is. You're talking a lot about agility, a lot about sustainability. What do those words mean to the Navy compared to wars past and future conflicts as a comparison?
Well, I'll tell you, as naval forces, the Navy Marine Corps team in particular, we are by design maneuver forces. And as we emerge from a couple of decades that was defined by the war on violent extremism, we got into practices where we sent an awful lot of naval power to the Middle East and then brought it back, sent it out and brought it back. And we're finding in this great power competition that one of the things we have to do with urgency, as you said, is restore this sense of global maneuver, our ability to really take naval force elements and move them around the globe in a very dynamic way, in a way that is hard to predict if you're on the other side, if you're an adversary or a rival, in a way that is reassuring if you're an ally. But, maneuver is the watchword of the day. And so as we distribute naval forces around the globe, really in support of protecting America, playing that away game, in support of promoting our interests around the globe, in support of enhancing our prosperity around the globe as a nation, we're going to be a lot more dynamic, a lot more maneuverable, and we've got to pick up the pace. We continue to, I think we need to recapture the momentum in terms of conceptual things, in terms of being able to physically move, and also in terms of being able to deliver capability faster.
Now, one more overall sort of arching question. This has a lot of, big strategy words, like I said, agility, sustainability, that kind of stuff. What is the average soldier going to see? And how quickly do you hope that this kind of bleeds down to that petty officer or so?
Yeah. Well, as we think about our sailors, this document is by design, I would say, written to speak directly down to, I would say, commanding officers, right, and as senior enlisted on ships. So certainly to all the fleet commanders, certainly to all of the group commanders, the squadron commanders, those sorts of folks, but all the way down to the unit commanders of ships and squadrons, platoons around the Navy. It should speak directly to them in language that they can very clearly understand and also implement at their level. Now, to the petty officer, I think that it's up to the commanding officers and the senior leadership on those units to translate this down to their level, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's sort of the responsibility of the levels of leadership, the hierarchy of leadership, to make sure that they understand this and translate it so that their teams can implement it.
And it seems like you push some of that risk down to, well, you push some of the decision-making farther down the totem pole so that those like command leaders, those unit leaders, can make decisions for those people so that when they're in an area that they can't control or that they an admiral cannot be overlooking all the time, that they know what to do in that moment. Does that seem like a fair characterization?
Well, this idea of decentralized command and control is a real strength of the military and a particular strength of naval forces. And we expect our commanding officers to take their teams and go over the horizon. There's not going to be a lot of leadership looking over their shoulder. And we expect them to make them better and come back stronger than when they left. And I would say that there's sort of two dimensions to the way that they have to improve. One is they've got to come back better operators, better warfighters, right? So from the ability to fight their ship, fight their unit, fight their squadron, they've got to improve while they're out there deployed. But also from a character standpoint, we expect them to come back, stronger in that regard as well. So, it's there's a part in the design that talks about core attributes. And those are the things, the combination of character development, strengthening their character, combined with strengthening their competence. That combination gives any senior leader the confidence that they can delegate that task down to subordinate commanders. And then, all of those COs, all of those commanding officers get to use their initiative. They're going to respond to opportunities and threats that very, very quickly on a basis and with an effectiveness that would be really impossible to achieve if we highly centralized it. So we count a lot on those COs to do the right thing.
That's Admiral John Richardson, Chief of Naval Operations. He's speaking with Federal News Network Scott Massioni. We'll have more from this interview after a quick break. I'm Eric White.
Leidos has proudly supported the U.S. Navy for nearly 50 years with systems and solutions that span from seafloor to cyberspace. We're advancing global missions with agile, innovative IT and providing cyber expertise built for resilience and rapid response to ever-evolving threats. Our team brings commercial best practices and leading-edge technologies matched with a deep understanding of the defense sector's most complex challenges. At Leidos, we're developing practical answers for a complicated world. Visit leidos.com/seafloor to learn how.
We continue our interview with Admiral John Richardson, Chief of Naval Operations. He's speaking with Federal News Network Scott Massioni.
Within this strategy, you have a four lines of effort, and one of those efforts puts a really strong emphasis on awarding contracts and delivering those contracts in the very near future, in the early 2020s. How do you expect to do that, and how do you expect to make sure that these are awarded on time, the schedule stays on time, and that you can do it quickly?
Yeah. So that is in the green line of effort, which is all about high velocity outcomes. And embedded in the high velocity outcome is high velocity learning. Okay, but learning that actually gets to a deliverable at the end. And so we challenged ourselves to actually put in the design itself some pretty specific outcomes that we want to get to in terms of delivering capability. But really what underpins all of that, and as you said, these are pretty near-term outcomes for some significant and complex programs, is the learning that we've done in terms of how to define the requirements, work with industry, work with the financial management part of it, work with the program managers so that we can get this thing going at a speed that's relevant to the security environment, right? You don't want to be the second team to field a high-end capability. And so time and the sense of urgency that you talked about is a critical element of our way going forward.
Within this, you have this idea of synergy between development and naval doctrine, and that has to do with some change in doctrine within the colleges, the war colleges, and some of the acquisition colleges. How does that sort of work for you?
So what one can maybe envision is the Navy as a complex and adapting learning organization. And there's a lot of aspects to learning and a lot of ways that we can get after becoming smarter and better at the way we do business. And part of that is going to be our system of schools, right? And we have training schools, we have education schools, we have graduate schools, we've got the Naval War College, we've got the Naval Postgraduate School. So that's one way of learning we have as we teach. We also have fleet exercises, right? So we take forces out, fleet, and take the fleet out to sea, and we try certain things. We have experimentation that goes on with immature technology, right? We'll take it out and put it in the hands of sailors as fast as we can, and just start rapidly prototyping and iterating on that. And then we've got analysis and studies, formal types of efforts that do that. So what we've done is, now that we've got this great power competition as a unifying theme, we can now start to get this learning engine, really going. The gears are starting to mesh as we think about how we're going to confront this this competitive environment. And so we're going to set up essentially two major hubs, one on the East Coast in Norfolk at Second Fleet, the brand new fleet we stood up this last year. And that's going to be, by and large, centered on concept development. And then on the West Coast, we're going to set up a development group in San Diego at Third Fleet. And that will be, by and large, centered on capability development. And then, if you've been in this business, hey, if I bring a certain capability, well, that's going to generate a new set of concepts, which is going to generate a demand for a new capability. And so there's a real collaborative, constructive dynamic that exists between capability and concept development. And so those two hubs are going to have to really be in that close coordination.
And you also...
But it's all to really get this learning engine started really at the entire Navy level, and then scale it all the way down so that if I'm in a work center on a particular ship, boy, it all scales down, and I can be learning at that scale as well, so that, hey, the preventive maintenance or the maintenance action I do today, let's take a look at how we just did that so that the next time I do that, I can do it smarter.
And within the same line of effort, you give the Admiral Burke and also Admiral Moran these priorities to look into problems with the corporate problems, the training problems, and you're asking them for a pretty quick turnaround by the end of the year to identify these issues. Have you heard anything back by this point?
It's a kind of a conversation that's been going on, so I don't think we'll be struggling at all to sort of converge on five problems that can focus us. And, we won't limit it just to five. If there's more that we can get after, certainly we'll consider that. But, yeah, we've been thinking about this thing for quite a while. So whether it's artificial intelligence or additive manufacturing, again, there's this idea of an outcome-focused approach to this, right? Let's focus on solving a very specific problem and then deliver the solution to that problem. And the techniques that we learn As we solve that specific problem, then we can apply those horizontally across, you know, many of those tools horizontally across a number of different problems. And so that's sort of the strategy going forward.
And you mentioned additive manufacturing. It's one of the main points within this line of effort. Can you explain why that might be so important to the Navy at this point?
Well, right now, the unique thing that Naval Forces deliver is the ability to get underway, and we go out into international waters. We don't need any kind of permission to enter another country's sovereign territory. We can operate around the world, you know, pretty much free of those types of constraints. Our ability to do that is really dependent upon our ability to sustain ourselves, right? So, for a while, we tend to bring everything that we need. So, all of the parts support, you know, the supplies, all of that stuff, we bring with us. Now we do that by making the best prediction of those parts that we're going to need, and we put those in storage lockers, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine how that whole logistics system is transformed if you have a three-dimensional printer and the code and the material, and you can, instead of storing your part, you can just build your part, right?
Right.
And, that speeds up the process a tremendous amount because, you know, you don't have to wait for that part to come from a manufacturer and then be delivered sometimes across the globe to a particular ship in a particular space and all of the lift and everything that has to come with that. You can just build it right there on the spot. And so it will transform our logistics enterprise as we do more and more of this. So we've got to move into this space aggressively.
Admiral John Richardson is Chief of Naval Operations, speaking with Federal News Network Scott Massioni. One more quick break and we'll return with our final segment. I'm Eric White.
Leidos has proudly supported the U.S. Navy for nearly 50 years with systems and solutions that span from seafloor to cyberspace. We're advancing global missions with agile, innovative IT and providing cyber expertise built for resilience and rapid response to ever-evolving threats. Our team brings commercial best practices and leading-edge technologies matched with a deep understanding of the defense sector's most complex challenges. At Leidos, we're developing practical answers for a complicated world. Visit leidos.com/seafloor to learn how.
You're listening to our interview with Admiral John Richardson, Chief of Naval Operations. He spoke with Federal News Network Scott Massioni.
I wanted to change gears a little bit and go toward the personnel realm. You really do an overhaul of most of the talent management system, and this makes things a little more looser and a little more flexible, it seems like. It seems to try and put people in the pegs that they would work best in. How is that helping? I mean, obviously that seems like a much better alternative than what the other might be, but how is that helping you prepare for near-peer competition?
Well, first of all, let me just credit the people who have done so much good thinking and execution to get us here. So our Vice Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Bill Moran, has done great work. He was a former Chief of Naval Personnel and got this going. And then our current Chief of Naval Personnel, Admiral Bob Burke, has done a terrific job to lay all of this in because it takes a significant effort to really make all this happen. And so we've been overhauling the information technology that allows us to get insight into pretty much every sailor's individual's personal priorities. How about if we say it that way? So some of our sailors are just tuned into high energy operations. They just want to go from one operation to the next, one seagoing command to the next. It doesn't matter where in the globe it is, as long as it's sort of, you know, moving out and it's exciting. And we got a lot of jobs that we can put those people in. Some of our sailors have families and they say, listen, I'm all in. I want to do as much as I can, support the team, execute the mission. But I'd like to maybe a little geographic stability so I can get my children through school. And we've got opportunities to do that. We can give people that. Some of our sailors want to get an education. We've got lots of education opportunities. So, you know, the idea is, hey, let's understand exactly what sort of drives you, what makes you tick, what you're interested in. We've obviously got a mission to accomplish, but there's a tremendous amount of overlap between those two, right? Mm-hmm. And we can make the best proposition or the proposal to you in terms of compensation, you know, a combination of salary, education, geographic stability, whatever. And then we can have a real conversation. So it's the idea of making this more like a almost a marketplace is what we call it, where we are proposing, we have jobs to fill. We want to understand what your priorities are and make the best match so that we execute the mission and develop each and every one of our sailors individually as well. So to do that, we've got a number of things. You mentioned it, making it easier to move around. That's a major dimension of this personnel program. It allows me a lot more flexibility because I can assign the same sailor to a lot of different places, both in different jobs and in different places. And then it allows the sailor a lot more choices as well, so that if they want to, let's say they want to relocate to San Diego, for instance, well, if they're qualified in a number of different areas, they have a lot more opportunities to find a spot in San Diego. So I think that this Sailor 2025 program, which is making it a lot, making us more capable and more flexible at the same time, is going to be a powerful part of our business going forward.
Your force is growing. It's been growing for a couple of years now, and there have been a few programs that have opened up sort of the aperture for people to stay a little bit longer if they need to, so that you can fill some of those ranks. How are you working, recruiting? How are you reaching out to people to grow the Navy, especially now that it's changing?
Yeah, well, we're bringing people into the Navy at the fastest possible rate that we can. And so, all of our schools, our boot camp and schools that bring people in and make them sailors, we're about at the capacity right now in the neighborhood of 40,000 sailors per year we bring in. And that, we need some real talented recruiters that are out there doing that work. And, knock on wood, to date, they have met their goals every month for about the last 12 years. It's really been a remarkable performance. And it's particularly remarkable as you consider that by most measures of performance, we've got the most talented Navy that we've ever had. And these young people, they could go anywhere in the world. They're that smart. They're that capable. They can write their check and go anywhere in this global economy. And they choose to come to the Navy and raise their right hand and take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And boy, that level of commitment and everything that comes with that, that really deserves a tremendous amount of respect.
That's Admiral John Richardson, Chief of Naval Operations, speaking with Federal News Network Scott Massioni. Find this interview in its entirety on our website. Go to federalnewsnetwork.com and search Agency in Focus. I'm Eric White.
Thank you for listening to Agency in Focus, Navy, sponsored by Leidos on federalnewsnetwork.com and 1500 AM. The entire program can be found on demand at federalnewsnetwork.com. Search Agency in Focus.